I'd like to take three Sundays and talk about the name Christian and the term Christian that appears in the Bible. This is something I've done before, but I want to do this again and ask you this question to begin with. What is a Christian? It's a term that you hear widely used today, people saying, well, I am a Christian. And people use that to describe a nation. People say that this is a Christian nation. People use that to describe a code of conduct. Or sadly, to identify who someone is not. In other words, if you're not an atheist, if you're not a Buddhist, if you're not a Hindu, if you're not a Jew, if you're not a Muslim, then you're a Christian. That's the only one that's left. And that's what people will say, well, I guess I'm just a Christian. In other words, if you can't think of a word to identify yourself religiously, you can always call yourself, I'm a Christian. The name is, in the Bible, actually used for identification. You know, if you want to know if you are who you profess to be, a person may ask you for some ID, some identification. And if you would take out your driver's license, what is on your driver's license? On your driver's license, as a form of ID, it lists characteristics that positively identify you. Mine says that I'm 6'4", that I weigh 200 pounds, depends on what day it is, that I've got brown eyes, and it doesn't say bald, it just says brown hair. But all these things, you know, that's how it identifies me. And then there's this picture on there that is my ID. That picture shows, in fact, that's what people look at when you go to the airport. They want to see the picture. And they look at that and then they look at you and go, okay, you can go through. Those real nice people. Someone who is called a Christian should be a picture of Christ. I say it's an identification. And a true Christian doesn't merely show his ID. A true Christian is identified by how he lives. It's further defined by the context where it's used in the New Testament. Of course, it's not used in the Old Testament. But three times you'll find this word Christian or Christianos in the New Testament. Three occurrences in the New Testament, and the context of each one tells us something about the name Christian. Today, I want to look at the origination of the name. Where did the name come from? Because we're going to see how that should apply to each of us. Because I would assume that each person here, saved or not, would identify yourself as a Christian. I want you to know what a Christian is. So first, we're going to look at the origination of the name. In other words, where did the name come from? And if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 11, please. Of course, the book of Acts is sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles. This is what we see the first Christians doing, but they're not called Christians in chapters 1 through 10. They're called something else, but it's in Acts chapter 11 where we first see the name Christian used. So a couple of points that I'd like to discuss this morning that I'd like to preach about. First of all, is the place where the name originated, the place of the origination. The first thing about the place is the location. It's a city called Antioch. Let's just read Acts chapter 11 and let's begin with verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. So you'll see that at this point, they're not preaching to any Gentiles. However, you go back to chapter 10, Peter had seen a vision on the rooftop, and the angel had sent him to Cornelius. Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman centurion, was gloriously saved as well as his family. A Gentile. Peter, in the first part of chapter 11, is defending before some believers what he did. And you'll see that these believers, after they hear his testimony, rejoice with Peter over the salvation of the Gentiles and say, well, then God is now reaching out to the Gentiles. But again, I read chapter 11 and verse 19, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, who did they speak to? They spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now it's not just to the Jews. Now they're beginning to preach to the Gentiles, in this case, the Grecians. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians first in Antioch. The location of this place is today in southern Turkey, on the Orontes River, near the Mediterranean Sea. In the time of the book of Acts, it was known as Antioch of Syria, about 325 miles north of Jerusalem. If you would find yourself a Bible map, you could see it right there on the coast. That's where Barnabas first went from Jerusalem. He was there, then he went to Tarsus and brought Saul back. And together they're ministering in this city of Antioch. There's the location of the place. Let's look at the characteristics of this place. Number one, it was a city, not a region, not a nation. And I point out the fact that it was a city because local churches were known by the city they were in. Think about some of the churches you're aware of in the New Testament. Paul writes letters to some of these churches. He writes to the one, let's say, Ephesus, Colossae. Sometimes he would write to a group of Christians, such as the book to the Romans, or perhaps to a young man like Titus or Timothy. But letters were often addressed to churches in the local city. So you've got Ephesus, Corinth, Philippi, Thessalonica, and so forth. Think about the churches in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Sardis, Pergamos, Laodicea, Philadelphia, churches in what is now Turkey, local churches known by the city in which they were located. So this verse is talking about a local church like Westside Baptist Church of Greeley, Colorado, a local body of believers. So the characteristics of the place is that it was a city. Secondly, it was a significant city. Antioch was known as the Queen of the East. In the Roman Empire, it was third in size after Rome and Alexandria. It became the eastern capital of the Roman Empire. I'm quoting here. The Romans added to the architectural splendors of the city of Antioch, building temples, palaces, and theaters, extending aqueducts, and paving main streets with marble. It was also known as Antioch the Beautiful. And according to the archaeology in the New Testament by Unger, it was the only ancient city known to have possessed a regular system of street lighting. It was an amazing city. The Queen of the East. The population? About 200,000 people. It was the melting pot of people from the eastern and western countries. A materially prosperous city known for moral depravity. Like New York City, San Francisco, Boulder. Cities known for spiritual depravity. Are you getting a sense of what the city of Antioch was like? Beautiful city, But because of the population, moral depravity. It was in that city that we read of Paul and Barnabas' arrival in verse 26. That's the place of the origination of the name Christian. Now, I want us to look at the people of the origination. And first of all, I want to address the fact of who gave the label Christians. Did they label themselves as Christians? Who labeled them as Christians? Some say that the name was derogatory, a nickname by the people of Antioch who were known for nicknames. I grew up used to nicknames. My brothers had their names my mom and dad gave them, but I gave them different names. I gave them nicknames. They gave me nicknames. My sister called me, I'm not going to tell you. I really was just about to tell you, and I thought, no, then you're going to start calling me Pastor such and such, and I don't want that. But for a certain amount of money, I'll tell you. But I would, you remember my Mike, my brother Mike, we would call him Beans. I've got another brother we called Knocker. My oldest brother we called Spud because he loved potatoes. My sister Judy we called Judy. Get it? J-U-D-Y, Judy. Terry, the missionary to Sri Lanka, we called Barry because he had lots of freckles when he was a teenager. And his name was Terry, so Terry Barry. And so we would nickname each other. That's what this city was like. They would constantly give nicknames to things and to people. So some say the name was derogatory. Others say that the name Christian was a name given by the Roman officials here. Either way, it was a name not given by Christians themselves. It was a name given by the heathen. Jews didn't give them this name. Or they were not. The Jews called Christians they called followers of Christ Galileans. Or they called them Nazarenes. So this name is probably not from the Jews. And again, this is not a name that the followers of Christ gave them because they would call themselves disciples. They would call themselves learners. They would call themselves believers, brethren, saints, or those of the way. Have you seen that term in the book of Acts? Those of the way. The word itself is similar in pattern to a name like Herodian. What is a Herodian? You read about the Herodians in Matthew 22, specifically verse 16, where the Bible talks about the Herodians. Herodians were followers of Herod. Well, you pick up that pretty well. They were followers of Herod. So Herodian, Christian. Do you see the pattern here? If a Herodian is a follower of Herod, then what is a Christian? It's a follower of, you've got it. Now, if that name literally means a follower of Jesus Christ, then you had better be careful when you use the name. Because if that name is certainly identifying you, you had better live up to what the name says. That's why I personally get offended when somebody who's living a raunchy, depraved lifestyle calls themselves a Christian, because that's a reflection on Jesus Christ. It's blasphemy. What is a Christian? A follower of Christ. What is the name Christ? Christos, Messiah, the Anointed One. I am a follower of the Anointed One, one who belongs to Christ, a follower of Christ. You know, it says something when somebody's ashamed to be known as a follower of Christ, but is proud to be a follower of the Broncos. You know, it says something when somebody's ashamed to be called a follower of Christ, but is not ashamed to be called a follower of the Rockies or the Nuggets or the Avalanche or the Packers. It says something. Sometimes we wouldn't dare speak up if someone lied about Christianity, but watch out if they misquote your team's win-loss record. You'll get up from your restaurant table and go to the other table to correct them on that one, won't you? But when somebody lies about Christianity, and I'm not saying we need to be confrontational, but I'm just making a point. how defensive we come when it comes to following someone.